This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a special broadcast from Broad on Joy 94.9.
I'm gonna marry the night. Give up on my life. I'm a warrior queen, live passionately tonight. Not waxing the legs, or shaving the pits, or bleaching the lip, 'cause I don't give a
You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
The director of But I'm a Cheerleader, and you are listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
Yes, this is Broad. Broad would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we broadcast from, the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to all the Kulin elders, women from the past, present, and those women who will be our future elders. We'd also like to acknowledge with respect the traditional owners of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands that we broadcast to, and pay respect to all elders and women elders from all clans and nations, past, present and future. So welcome to Broad, everybody. I want Candy. Bow, wow, wow. I don't know why I played that, but it seemed quite fitting for tonight's show, actually, because we've got two great guests. One is alive and one is pre-recorded. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but any case, the live one we have here is Justin. Justin Tulliker, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Hey. Now, why have we got you on? There's something really, really cool happening this week. Well, part of this weekend coming up.
Yes, so if you haven't heard, Dragnet 2016 has been taking place at the Greyhound Hotel. It is the third sort of comp of its season here in Melbourne, one of a kind, similar to RuPaul's Drag Race, but a live version of that. So this year it's been bigger than ever. We've had 17 contestants enter. There's one faux queen, myself, a drag king, and the rest are a diverse group of drag queens, from really femme to alternative, just showcasing what they have. And yeah, the Greyhound has given us this sort of space with a $2,000 grand prize.
Wow.
And whoever wins gets a 6-week residency there every Saturday night. So it's a great platform to start for
6 weeks is intense.
Yeah.
Isn't it? That's a lot of work, I would say.
Yeah.
6 weeks.
Yeah. Oof. Very exciting for a performer, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. You can really build on that. Now, of course, everyone's probably going, what is this drag king thing? So we'll have to talk to you more about that a bit later on in the show because, yeah, I guess maybe some people are a bit surprised that Broad would have a drag king on here. Anyone surprised by that? I don't. Well, if you are, let us know what you think. 0427 joy949. You can always email us on air at joy.org.au. But personally, we like to be diverse as we can, and we're going to get you to, if you're okay about it, to talk about your past, what's led you to become this drag king.
Beautiful.
What makes Justin Tulliker tick.
Beautiful. I feel honoured. Thank you so much for having
and
me
also,
on the show.
And also, I'm surprised I got to manage to say your name as well as I could. And no one seemed to say anything. No one blushed. I blushed earlier on.
I'm blushing at your reaction. It's great.
All right. So, yes, if you do have any messages for Justin, you want to know more, we'll cover all that. We also have a bit of a pre-recorded interview with a fantastic woman, Katie Steggs, from the... Well, she's a game developer, or dev as they call it, and it's part of something called Blush Box. So there's a lot of blush going on here. Blush Box is basically a group of women developers who are creating love, sex, and romance games. There you go. Something that I thought would have been quite common, but apparently not. Apparently, sexually aware and sexualized, not in a bad way. Sexuality in actual games is not as dominant as you'd like to think. It might be in a few games, but I'm not a gamer, and clearly I'm showing that now, so forgive me. But we'll be chatting to Katie a bit later. She's going to talk about Lyst, L-Y-S-T. That was in Norway recently, so it was a sex, romance, and love game developing conference. So a whole heap of people from all over the world went, and she was saying how diverse it was. In fact, she thinks around half of the people that turned up in Norway were actually women, so or identified as women. So that's really interesting. Whereas normally she was saying in Australia or Melbourne at least itself, only 8% of game developers are women or identify as women. So yes, maybe in Europe it's a little different, or maybe it's just, I don't know, women like love, sex, and romance more. Justin would probably agree with me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're speaking my language.
Oh, there's something weird going on there. No, it's good. No, the word weird means good things. Look it up, people, if you don't believe me. So, yes, on Broad. Now, we'll also be talking a bit more about what happened on the weekend. So much happened. We went bush last week on Broad, you might have heard. Kate Bush, that is, because they had the biggest event ever of Kate Bushes. Kate Bushes? People who identify as Kate Bush, perhaps, or at least the Wellington Heights Kate Bush. This weekend they held a dance, I guess you call it, the Wellington Heights Dance of the Kate Bushes, and there would have been amazingly, I think about 2,000-3,000 people, perhaps a little bit more. They're not sure of the numbers yet, but it was held over at the Domain here in Melbourne Town, and I've never seen so much red, black, and white before. Ladies in red, I've never seen so many. It's just astounding. Flowers, red flowers, of course, in their hair, are doing Wuthering Heights all in time well, pretty much all in time, as well as you can when you've got close to 3,500 people dancing all at once at the Maya Bowl. So, yes, I do have pics for that. I took some photos, but I haven't had a chance to put them up yet on the Broad Facebook page. But you can head to the Broad Facebook page and check out all the other things. We've got our podcast there, also on broadjoy.org.au. You can find out those here. Let's have a bit of music in a moment, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to Justin Terlikker, and you'll find out a lot more. And it's like I'm getting my tongue around it. I think I'm doing okay. What do you think, Justin?
I think you're doing amazing.
I could do better, though. I could always do better. You're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9. Alice from the Girlfriedas, what does feminism mean to you?
Feminism is basically creating an equal playing field for all genders, races, like dismantling the patriarchy, but particularly the white, heteronormative, monogamous patriarchy that serves to perpetuate capitalism and, like, you know, exclude so many minorities.
Bianca from the Girlfriedas, what does feminism mean to you?
Feminism for me is creating equality for all humans across the world, regardless of circumstance, and not keeping anyone down for whatever reason.
That's not a bad idea.
What?
Making a girl. Actually making a girl.
She's alive!
Is it real? It's my creation.
Mad Science. Wow, Oingo Boingo. Look, not the greatest film in the world. I think it was Kelly Lee Brock, and I cannot remember the rest. Horrible teenage angst Hollywood and their idea of what makes boys tick. But let's find out what do make, well, drag kings tick. We've got in the studio here for Broad, Justin Tulliker.
Hello.
I'm enjoying saying that every time.
Yeah, I can
be
see the smile on your
you
face.
You can tell. It's really embarrassing. So, Justin, you've come all the way from, well, a train ride by the looks of the photo on our Facebook page.
Yes, Armadale.
Armadale. Fair enough. Rock me, Armadale. Is that what people say? Rock me, Armadale. Rock me. No. What is she on about? Okay, so Justin Tulliker is going to be at the Greyhound. Coming up this weekend, there's a semi-finals for Drag King.
They call it Dragnet.
Dragnet.
Yeah.
Even better. Dragnet. Yeah. Wow, that's cool. So tell us, what is, for those who are not aware, what is Drag King?
So Drag King is a type of performance with any kind of sort of drag performance. So you've got your drag queens that are mostly well known, and then you've got your drag kings. So it's the sort of term used to be that men would dress up in women's clothing and create a character and do some sort of performance. And Drag King is women sort of finding their masculine side and performing that. And now it's sort of become a bit mainstream with RuPaul's Drag Race. And it's not so much just, you know, a guy in girls' clothes or a girl in guys' clothes. They really develop a character and have a persona and, you know, go out and promote themselves as such. And, yeah, it's quite intriguing to watch the whole process, and it can take some people up to 4 hours, 5 hours to get their makeup done and their transformation. So it's really, we're really trying to make it a respected art form and have people take it quite seriously, because it's quite intriguing to see, you know, people get up on stage and really perform and shine and throw these characters out. And yeah, just sort of find what feminine is to them or what masculine is to them. And yeah.
And for you yourself, what's what dragged you to Drag King? Did someone drag you? No. Did you get dragged behind a car? No, that sounds awful.
That's quite funny. I had moved to Melbourne about, what was it, 9 years ago now, in 2008, and I was seeing this girl, and she was like, "You're a dancer. You'd be great in the sort of queer community and go out and do some drag kings." So she took me to the Glass House when they had Drag Kings Victoria, and I performed there for a couple of months, and then I kind of just stopped and had other things going on, and I did a few cabaret shows here and there with drag kinging with Speakeasy HQ. They were quite open. They had a drag king night with a couple of groups, and like King's Kong and, you know, a whole bunch of other guys. So there's there's a lot of little groups around there that are trying to perform as much as they can.
It doesn't seem as visible as drag queen work performance and characters.
Yeah, so
would that be the case?
Yeah, that's sort of my aim. I really want to, through this opportunity, to make drag kings more visible and have a little have more of a platform for us drag kings to go out there and show that, you know, we are you know, on that same level as drag queens. And And, you know, let's try and build up a bit more of history for us, because it's quite intriguing to see the different sort of styles. I mean, my style is more mainstream. I do a lot of hip-hop, and I dance quite a bit in my shows, whereas some other drag kings will do sort of camp stuff, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, you need to look like an authentic boy. It can be any sort of style.
Is it the word pass? Is that not important to do as such? Is that what you mean?
No. I think the main thing for any sort of drag sort of show or competition is to sort of show what you have and how diverse you can be. I think the Dragnet platform has given a lot of king and queens the opportunity to showcase, I guess, what what femininity or what masculinity means to them, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the, you know, put you in a box kind of footballer or, you know, anything like that, or, you know, a footballer's wife. You can be crazy and, you know, we had one queen on stage last night have a did the Bachelorette and had one guy spit blood in her face. So it can get quite intense.
Wow.
Yeah, she was trying to beat him up because he didn't pick her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that doesn't happen. Though drag kings, I should imagine, are a bit more restrained.
Not necessarily. No. Last year's winner, or not winner, Ziggy came out and he does quite a bit more of a sort of mixture between really camp drag and burlesque. So came out with a, you know, hairy chest and boobs out, and that's sort of his style, you know. It's just on it, like, yeah, really edgy. Whereas I'm a bit more laid back, and I'm more about, you know, sort of, if you think of my style of, you know, Justin Timberlake meets Kanye West, and they had a baby, and that was Chris Brown, but not as violent.
Yes, I hope so.
So, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of information to take
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's a lot. I'm just thinking, that looks good. Yeah. But yeah, so if you don't mind me asking, as far as identifying, how do you identify? Like, do you always drag when you're out in public?
No.
Like you are on the train in the picture on Facebook. But
No, normally I just do on a Saturday night when I go out to the Greyhound during this competition. Before that, I'm, you know, just, identify as a female, lesbian, with my partner, Christina. But yeah, Justin is sort of just the character that I go around with. I kind of just fell into this drag king sort of character, and it's kind of, he's been with me for, you know, ever since I've been in Melbourne. And I chose the name Justin because when I was a little kid, I used to play around, and Justin was my, like, friend that I used to hang out with, my imaginary friend. So
It
kind of, all just came together. And
possessed.
Yeah.
Possessed you in a good way. Yeah.
Well, I had two older sisters, and they wanted to, you know, do my nails, and I was like, no.
Did you have any brothers? Is that?
No, I didn't.
No.
Yeah.
But you got Justin.
Yeah.
Justin now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cool. Yeah, just when I go out to the Greyhound, I'll drag up for the comp. Just to sort of promote myself a bit more and just be in the atmosphere and really try to develop the character a bit more because he's still a bit fresh.
I wonder, do we know how many drag kings there are in Melbourne? Do we have any? How proportion-wise, I wonder how many there are.
I don't know, but if you are a drag king, come out of your shell. Come to the Greyhound. Come, you know, be by my side, and we can hold hands through this journey together.
But maybe not go up on stage unless invited, of course. Of course. Yeah. Well, let's look at those dates again. Like the semifinals, this is Saturday, the 23rd.
Yeah.
What happens after that? It's
then the finals.
The final.
Yeah, so there's six of us performing next Saturday. It's from 10:30 onwards. And we'll do sort of our each individual performance, and then we have a catwalk that we have to do. So
that sounds really nervous. Yeah. And, you know, nervous inducing, if there's such a word.
Yeah, they've given us an era, a piece of fabric that we have to use, and an unconventional item. So I got the 1990s, which suits me quite well.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody loves the 90s.
Yeah.
So you're going to dress as Chandler.
Yeah, Fresh Prince.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that would be,
And then velour, and then I got tinsel, so...
Tinsel. Well, I don't know what you do with tinsel.
Yeah, make a beard out of it.
Yeah, I guess funky. So. Could do that. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you've got any messages, let us know. 0427JOY949. Know anybody who does drag king? If you're a drag king, let us know. Techniques, tips, anything like that. 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Here on Broad, we will be playing that interview very shortly, also with Katie Steggs from Blushbox, here on Broad on Joy 94.9.
Broads from the past.
I'm Bryony Kidd, and you're listening to Broad on Joy 94.9.
On Broad, R-O-M-F-G. Hello. I just thought that would be perfect for the next thing that we're going to talk about, which is our video games, in particular Blushbox and Katie Steggs from Blushbox. We had a chat to her last week. Yes, it was definitely last week. It's going so fast. We were talking about this off air. How quickly is the last few months been going since the departing of David Bowie? I think there's something going on there. But let's have a listen to Katie. It's a sizable chunk, this interview. So you can sit back, make a cup of tea, relax, whatever you do, ladies and friends of ladies out there listening to Broad, or send us a message 0427JOY949 on air at joy.org.au. This is Broad, and here's Katie from Blushbox. Blushbox Games, and according to the website, it's an all-girl collective from around Australia, and they've banded together in the name of exploring and promoting love and sexuality in video games. Is that for real? That's amazing.
Yeah. It's actually interesting. Like, it says all-girl collective on the website, but it's actually a collective for anyone. So Blushbox Games basically got started because Kim Allen, who's the other co-founder, gave me a ring one day and she said, hey, have you heard of like this awesome overseas conference called List Summit? It's held in Norway and it's basically about love, sex and romance in games. And I hadn't heard of it and I thought, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Like, why isn't there any events like that here in Australia? Like, I never hear people talking about love, sex and romance at all in games, like not narrative or anything. So I thought, would be a really good opportunity to get together different women, different people, developers from around Australia, and get them over there to experience it, all with the aim of sort of bringing those skills and that information back here to set something up for the Australian and New Zealand community. That's the reason why we formed, yeah.
Cool. And you've just been to the List Summit, is that right?
Yes, I just got back on Friday.
So how did that come about as far as being invited? Did you invite yourself or how does it work for that sort of conference?
So List is actually an application-only symposium and game jam. The game jam part of it, you basically have to do an application letter. So will your listeners know what a game jam is? Should I explain that?
Yes, explain that, please.
Okay. So a game jam is basically like a short period of time where you get a group of developers together and you make a really quick version of a game, so kind of like a prototype. Oh. Usually you have about 48 hours to do it, and at the end you submit and you sort of play everyone's games, and usually it has a theme. So this one was obviously love, sex and romance in games. In order to get into this game jam, you basically had to write an application form through their website and say who you are, why you want to come and do this game jam and sort of why it's important to you. So we did that. It's a really interesting one because it's actually held in a place called Domkirkeodden in a town of about 30,000 people in Hamar in Norway. And it was in a ruined church.
Right.
Which is, yeah, makes sense. Really unique. Sorry?
It makes sense. A ruined church for the new church.
I know.
You know, the new religion.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of irony, really. Mm. It was actually kind of a strange experience for me because the last time I went to Europe, I was studying archaeology. And I was there to look at the ruins. And then this time I was there in a ruin making a game. It was, I don't know. There was something about it that was kind of like a big FU to my old career or something.
That's pretty. Is this a long way from archaeology, though? I mean, how did you get, just briefly, how did you get involved in becoming a dev, a games developer?
Actually, I always sort of was interested in the games industry, but I wasn't a programmer, so I didn't know how to get in. And once I finished, so I did archaeology as my bachelor, and I decided at the end of that that it was not something I wanted to do. It's just not a sort of career that I wanted to go into, especially living in Australia. You have to be away from home a lot. It's a bit thankless. So I started Lumi about 4 years ago with my current business partner, and we started doing marketing in games, and that was how I started, you know, being interested in game development and thinking, hey, I can actually do this, like, especially coming from a creative background.
Cool. And now, love, sex, and romance, why isn't there more of that in games? Is there, do you know why? It's not as big as I thought it would be, you know?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's actually something I've puzzled over a lot because obviously if you look at mainstream media, like any music or movies or, you know, TV, everything has to do with sex or romance. Like there's always some drama involving, you know, lovers, or there's always a chase for the girl or the guy. And like, I mean, sex and romance is so pervasive throughout mainstream media. You would think that it would be more present in video games. And it's an interesting question. I mean, like, I think because games are so young and it's so mechanics driven, there's something that makes it much more difficult to incorporate when you are having control over a player versus you watching a romance play out in front of you in a movie. So it becomes suddenly much more intimate and much more, you know, there's a lot more moral questions involved with making games place the player in that.
I guess ethical and I was thinking too, a lack of women in power and control when it comes to historically for game development. Would that also have something to do with it?
What do you mean?
Well, because, you know, it's only in recent times that we've seen more women developers coming through the ranks, I suppose, you know, becoming more influential, developing games. I mean, there has been historically in the past, but so few. I think that's changed. Do you think that's had an influence, having more women in games development?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also a reason why there hasn't been that much romance and sex in games, because if you look at, like, just the Australian community of game developers, for example, there's only 8% participation of women, and people make what they know. So
yes,
if you've got groups of predominantly male, you know, designers, they're going to design things that they would like to play and that men would like to play, not in a malicious way. That's just how they think. That's their lived experience. And, of course, our creativity comes from that. So I think in part it's just a lack of having, you know, feminine sort of creativity and feminine life experiences in the games industry has led to there not being that much content for it. And, of course, if there is a woman in the team and you're one of, you know, one out of nine men or something like that, how hard is it to then bring up a conversation about romance and sexuality with a room full of guys? There's a lot of fear of judgment, a lot of fear of bringing up your own ideas in that sort of context. And I think that's why having, you know, five females on the team was a lot easier, because there's just none of that, like, fear.
Yeah, I think it's really important because, of course, we're a feminist show. So it's really interesting, you know, we had Lena van der Venter with her book and talking about sexual harassment, talking about sexism, misogyny in games and stuff like that. Of course, she's the expert.
She's a wonderful person to talk to about that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But looking at it from a developer side, and particularly sexuality and, well, making something that does have those stories and ideas in it, it seems to be, once again, it seems to be the female ideas bringing that forth. I've also interviewed in the past comics creators and who've also had sex comics, you know, not pornographic as such, but with,
like, sex criminals, for example.
Yeah, well, love, sex and romance. It's very similar thing that you guys are doing, I guess, but with a comic form. And it's actually been women that have moved that, got that ball rolling, so to speak. I just find it curious that men just don't seem to be able to do those sorts of things. It's very, very odd.
It's like, it's,
but it makes sense, like, for sexual politics and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I just think it's a matter of, you know, I really do think it comes down to what you know. And you're not able to think creatively about something that you just wouldn't occur to you. Like, for example, I read a book last year that talked about how a woman's experience of getting pregnant and then suddenly realizing there was no pregnancy car park. Like, I would never think about pregnancy car parks. I'd never even think about what it's like to be a pregnant woman, because I've never been pregnant. So why would I ever consider characters that might be pregnant, et cetera? And I think the same goes for just anyone, really. Like, if it's outside of your realm experience, it's not going to come into your thought process, and that's why diversity in teams is important, because you get other perspectives that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise.
Yeah, so what happens next? I mean, Blushbox Games, what's your plans for the near future?
Well, in the near future, we're basically polishing up the game we made, and we'll put that up on the marketplace at some point. And I think the idea is that we're going to be running a series of workshops and sort of post-mortem talk to tell people about what our experience was like, and because we're from different states, I think that will be very beneficial, because we'll be able to reach all of the different game development communities throughout Australia. We're hoping to speak at the Games Connect Asia Pacific, which is our industry conference held in October, as well as PAX Australia, which is the consumer show held around the Melbourne International Games Week. So we'll be talking about it there. But ideally, Blushbox, we'd like it to become a sort of collective for people who are interested in talking about romance and sex and love in games and ideas around them. We'd like to be the hosts for some events around those topics. So, like, holding game jams here, allowing people a forum to speak about what their ideas are, and just providing a space for people to experiment outside of their work life with ideas that may not necessarily be what their studios are doing. I think that's really important. So, yeah, that's sort of our hope.
Excellent, excellent. And where can people go to find you guys, find more about what you do and Blushbox?
Yep, well, people can visit our website, so it's just www.blushboxgames.com, or you can follow any one of the girls on Twitter. My Twitter is at Steggy, S-T-E-G-G-Y underscore, and at Kim Allom, A-L-L-O-M. On Twitter, we usually post updates. We haven't actually got a dedicated Twitter yet. I'm sure that will come in the future, but yeah, for now, that's where you'll see most of the updates.
Cool. Well, we'll put all the links on Broad as well on the Facebook page and our Twitter about what you do. Oh, it's very exciting. Like, congratulations. I bet Norway was wonderful. Was there a lot of women there as well doing similar stuff?
It's probably one of the only game events that I've gone to that had a reasonable amount of women there. Like, I think it would have been 40 or 50% women, which I'm like, cool. No, that never happened. It basically never happened.
Good.
Yeah, but it was awesome. And we did crowdfunding to get over there. So I was just, the whole time I was couldn't believe that I was there and that people had, you know, cared enough to donate to us. And we had some cool sponsors that, you know, put up some of the money for us to get tickets over there. So, I mean, it was just a really fantastic experience, and I couldn't be more grateful for everyone that kind of helped out.
Yeah, sounds wonderful, Katie. I hope they have more, or at least maybe, an equivalent that moves around globally.
Yeah, well, I'll keep you updated with what we're going to do for the event, because I think we should have something coming up towards the end of the year. So,
fantastic.
Thank you for your interest, though. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks again, Katie. Katie Steggs, of course, from Blushbox Games. So jump online and go to www.blushboxgames.com to find out more about them. Sounds great. And can people join or people get involved as well if they want to?
Yeah, of course. We'll be updating the website soon to talk about some participation from anyone who wants. So just for now, we've got a contact form if you're interested in becoming part of the collective or have any ideas for us, that you could just email us through that form.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you for speaking to us on Broad on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9 is on air and online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year, unless it's a leap year, providing voice for the diverse LGBTIQ community of Melbourne. If you're a business or organisation that also needs a voice, become a Joy sponsor. Have your message heard by an average monthly audience of over 340,000 people in Melbourne and help keep this vital service broadcasting out loud and proud. Best of all, you can promote your message to an audience that want to hear about you. So advertise your business by becoming a Joy sponsor today. Call 1300 569 949 now or see joy.org.au/sponsor for more on how to support your community. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station. And thank you to Katie Steggs from Blushbox. I'll put that up on the Facebook page. In fact, actually, I already have. So if you want to find out more about Blushbox, love, sex and romance and video games and women who make them, just head to that page or go to blushbox.com.au. Now, we had a message from Dylan, someone called Dylan, saying, what a tune, OMFG. I think that's what he was talking about. And we've had a message from Steph. She says, hello, I love drag kings. I used to go to Star Hotel on Hoddle Street as a baby queer back in 2003. Until it changed about 2005, wearing brown cords, a fake leather jacket, my old school shoes, a leather cuff. Wow, this is a wardrobe thing happening here. And a hat. And I thought was very butch at the time. I thought I was cool, or at least I tried to be cool in an effort to impress a king there who I liked. Then one night I realized that she had a new girlfriend. And I was so shaken that I accidentally crashed into another car on the way home. Should I be reading this out? And drove off in a panic. Then to act the ridiculousness, I went to the nearest police station to give myself in for my crime. Ooh. And the police officer asked me out on a date. Wow. Yeah, thanks, Steph. That's incredible. I hope that was okay to read that out. She says, anyway, drag kings are great and hot. Kiss, kiss, hug, kiss, kiss. There you go. I might turn your mic on.
Oh, there
help,
we go.
Justin.
Hey.
Justin Tulik, what do you think of that? Tulik. Oh, my God. Look, I've been shortening your name already. Just Tulik.
I like it.
A little bit of a Freudian slip or two in there.
Boom, boom.
Just. I did it again. Justin. You get that a lot, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
But exploitation aside, not here to exploit you.
No.
Look, it's fantastic what you're doing, and I hope we see more drag kings. Hashtag support the king.
Yes.
That's you.
Yeah, so anyone who wants to come down on Saturday, you know, the guy who's running it is Corey McKinnon, and the new... venue manager is her name's Kiara, and they've really created this beautiful atmosphere in the Greyhound now that's welcoming, and you see different sort of age group of people, different sexual orientations, obviously, and you know, it's just I guess the community's really come together in this place, and it's quite a loving atmosphere, and I feel quite at home there, which is, you know, as a performer and as a drag king, and I feel quite
important.
Accepted, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, for any drag kings who are out there or listening or anybody who's thinking about doing it, go for it. The door is opening for us, and I'm really trying to sort of pave the way to make sure that we are heard and we are seen, and you know, hit me up on my Facebook page that you can find on the Broad I guess Facebook page as well, and just ask me any questions that you have, or you know, now's the time to get out there and us drag kings band together and start to, you know, show Melbourne and show the rest of the world that we are awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, and thanks to the Greyhound for giving me this opportunity. I feel a lot of you know, responsibility on my shoulders to sort of represent. And, you know, if you come on down, I will do just that for the next, hopefully, 2 weeks, getting cool. into the finals, hopefully.
And then you may be there for 6 weeks after
yes.
that.
Yes, yeah, maybe the first one to win it, hey? Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. The Midas touch, we'll see what we can do. No, there's no such, well, we don't know. The magic is out there. It's up to the universe.
Yeah.
Speaking of universe, we have got Jackie. She's going to speak, which is great. I might push her mic a bit closer, though. There
All right.
we go. That's much better. Now, we talked earlier, right at the beginning of the show, about Black Lives Matter, and it does, well, they do, of course. We had a solidarity type of rally, I suppose, mm-hmm. here in Melbourne. Jackie yes. was there. I was there, but sort of skirting around the outside. You were right in the thick.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
in the middle there.
In the middle of it, doing the marching. Mm-hmm. It was a really great event. There was a huge turnout. I think more than 4,000 people showed up. It was big. There were loads of really good speakers, a lot of Indigenous speakers especially. It's been a really great turnout there. And I think it's important within the queer community especially that white people, including myself, get out there and, you know, put our support out there, because it's not something that we can be silent about. You know, if we've got a level of privilege that we should use by showing up to these events. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people showed up. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's cool. And it was some young women that actually organized it too.
Yeah,
like amazing. Like, I think they did an amazing job at such short notice. I think they only had like 5 or 6 days before their actual event.
Yeah,
they
advertised absolutely.
It.
Mm. And there was a lot of police presence there as well.
Very
like loads
so.
Of police yeah. all in riot gear and on horses. So kind of seems, you know, counterproductive to the entire message that, like, you know, police violence is part of this huge problem in America mm. and Australia and around the world with, you know, anti-black violence.
Yeah.
But
deaths in custody was discussed too, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here in Australia and things like that. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, but the rally was really peaceful,
yeah.
ended in, you know, a big almost party in the streets, and yeah, it was a really positive day. It was great.
I didn't think there was any negativity or bad vibe coming from. The only problem I had was I was abused verbally by a white middle-class couple.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. It was pretty awful, and they were just, as soon as I mentioned that there was a relative connection, obviously, between what's happening over there and what's happening here, particularly for Indigenous Australians, they wouldn't have a bar of it and got very aggressive pretty quick. But there was a Koori guardian wearing a sort of fluorescent vest, and there was quite a few Koori people, and clearly they didn't want it to escalate, so they sort of stood around me to protect me. It was quite interesting. So it was very organised and well done to those people that put it together.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was like a fleet of marshals all in high-vis.
Marshals,
you know,
that's the word.
Yeah, wandering around and, yeah. you know, making sure things are going okay, helping people out who needed help. And
that's
it
nice.
Was just a really yeah. well-organised event.
Very good. I hope they have more. Do we know if there's going to be more? Do we
Black Lives Matter Australia
yeah,
movement?
Australia. Mm.
There's a Facebook page for it, I believe. There should be details about that if there are any upcoming events. We can put a link
yeah,
to that
let's put a
on
link
our
to
Facebook
that.
Page.
I'd love to speak to the organisers. So if you're listening or if anyone knows the organisers of it and for future events, and if they're women especially, that would be so cool. We're very open to having them on the show here on Broad. They can just contact us on Facebook or, yeah, that'll be the thing to do. Because it does matter, I think. That's the age we live in. We see so much happening we don't feel in control of. But if we want to support and be in solidarity, I think we have to also stand up and be accountable too. So
definitely.
Yeah. yeah. And for you, Justin, I mean, for your background too, like yeah. being an Americano and such.
Yes, yeah.
How different is it for you being here?
As
far as your experience goes.
Yeah, I especially in the performing arts world, I notice, you know, I was on Star Now the other day and, you know, looking at a role that I wanted to do, and it just said down the bottom, white and Caucasian need only
wow.
apply.
Is that legal? Do
yeah,
we know?
I think so. I think because it's just trying to fit the role of whatever
oh,
they're
okay.
after, but there's quite a lot of that happening. And so for
yeah.
a second, I'm kind of just like, oh.
That's disappointing yeah. because I think we're seeing a lot more, maybe in some Hollywood pictures and particularly television, we're seeing that change. Like
yeah.
When Idris Elba was in the first Thor film, he mm. played a character that is supposedly a Scandinavian character, but he's a black person, a black man. Yeah. He played that role. It caused an outrage. But, look, these are fantasy concepts. So if it's a fantasy concept, why can't we have people of colour playing those roles? That's what I've always thought.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as Michael Jackson used to say, the blood inside of me is inside of you. So I think we all need to start looking what's on the inside and not the outside.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, this is Broad. We're going to have to sign off now. But thank you so much for coming in here, Justin Tulliker.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to the future of whatever is going to come of this. So thank you.
Me thanks too. And thanks, Jackie.
Anytime.
Thanks for the podcasting. And don't forget, head to thejoy.org.au Broad to find out more. Up next is Nothing Sacred in a moment with Steph, Jim and other people possibly talking really interesting stuff, of course, here on Joy 94.9. Tune in to us next week. Now, on the 1st of August, actually the first week of August, we will be having our second or part two, Women and Homelessness and the experience that a lot of women have out there in our community being homeless. So we're going to see what we can do for them. A bit of an extended mix, but it's pretty dire out in the outside world there. So let's just think a little bit more about that for the future. Thanks for listening to us here on Broad on Joy.
And that was this week's show of Broad on Joy 94.9. Get in touch with us. It's easy to do. Just go to broad@joy.org.au. You can tweet us at broadfem949.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.